I'm Richard Neufarmer. I'm the World Bank Special Representative to the WTO and to the United Nations system. We have with us today to discuss non-tariff measures and the data sets that go into it, Alessandro Nisita, who is a senior economist. I always call him Alejandro, and my Italian colleague, Lisa Gambaroni, always makes sure that I pronounce it correctly after I mistake. Alessandro is a senior economist with UNCTAD, and he has a master's from the University of Michigan and a PhD from the University of Geneva, just by way of background. He didn't tell me how many children he has, but maybe that can be the punchline of your story. In any case, let me turn the microphone over to Alessandro, please.
Thank you. I have two children. Okay. So what I'm going to talk about, as you see from the program, is on non-tariff measure. And the way I'll try to organize this presentation is to look at the, first of all, I'll try to give you some definition, because even to define non-tariff measure can be difficult. Then I'll try to say a little bit about the importance of non-tariff measure relative to other, relative to tariff barriers. Then I look at the what data is available, the limitation of the data that we have at the moment. I'll talk a little bit on some effort that we are doing collecting new data. And then I'll propose some research and policy questions that are important and that the data should be able to address. So, first of all, when you hear about NTMs, a lot of people confuse us between non-tariff measure and non-tariff barriers. So, in some cases, it's quite difficult to distinguish between the two. What we come out with is a definition, which I'm going to read, that for which non-tariff measure are policy measures other than ordinary custom tariffs that can potentially have an economic effect on international trade in goods, changing quantities traded, or price, or both. So the key word here is potentially, because we don't know a priori if these measures are actually restricted to trade, or they are not affected at trade at all. In some cases, you may think of non-tariff measures, we actually favorite trade. So, if, for example, if you have a standard, then you can everybody obliged to these standards, and so by complying to these standards, you may see that you have much easier life to export your products. So this is the NTMs. Now, some of those measures may actually constitute non-tariff barriers. And non-tariff barriers, you can think on about those as those non-tariff measures that are protectionist intent. Now, this is very easy to say, but very difficult to quantify, to prove, because non-tariff measures, I would say, take a lot of different forms. It's very difficult to assess if those measures are protectionist or not. The classic example of non-tariff barriers are the quotas, tariff-free quotas, licensing regimes, price bands, all those measures that we know from history by now that were used largely in the past and much less in today. So on the importance of NTMs, this is a little study, I mean a big study actually, that I've done in my previous position at the World Bank, where we try to assess the importance of non-tariff barriers versus tariff in restricting trade, in restricting world trade. So what we found, and this is what the other studies have found, so you will see different numbers, but usually all studies come out with similar results, is that non-tariff measures are very important, and they are trade restrictive, and in most cases they restrict trade much more than tariffs do. So if you look at this is just the importance of NTM in restricting trade for OECD countries, and you can see that on overall, especially in agriculture, the impact on NTM is very large. So there are a lot of measures which actually are restricted to trade, and those measures are mostly in manufacturing. Now, what type of NTM are there? So, what we see from the past that a lot of NTMs were taking the form of quotas, monopolistic measures, licensing, and those were like the first original classification of NTMs, which UNCTAD did in the late 90s. We're covering mostly those measures. Now, in the recent years, new kind of tariff measures, non-tariff measures came out, most notably SPS, DBT, and anti-dumping. First of all, as I think Aditya or somebody else said this morning, I think a comment from the audience, what we see on NTM is that trying to hit a moving target, because actually the type of NTM change across time. So what is relevant today may be not relevant tomorrow. You may have the in the back of your mind the example of maybe some future kind of NTMs which are not relevant today. You can think about environmental standards, maybe in a few years they may be more important than they are now, or like labor standards and so on. So it's quite difficult even to classify the type of NTM, and when you think that you have done a good job in classifying, your classification may become obsolete just in a few years, and this is partly what happened with the existing data. So, now, where is the data on NTM at the moment? Let's say that you are a researcher, you want to start your research on NTM, where you should look at. So the first thing you see is that UNCTAD has a database. I'm not going to do much publicity of it, but it's UNCTAD started this collection on NTM data in the late 90s, but it lasted a few years and then it stopped, and the most recent data, so it's about 2002 or 2001 even. And this data is available through the WITS system, and it's in the TRAINS database, actually. Then anti-dumping data, there is a new database, a relatively new database, which is based on the WTO notification, which was made by Chad Baum. It's called Global Anti-Dumping Database and tells you a lot of information about anti-dumping. Then you have subsidies, and subsidies data is usually available through the OECD and also by the World Bank, which has done a study on try to quantify the amount of subsidies, but mainly for developing countries. And to give you an idea, they find that actually developing countries are pretty much following through developed countries, so it means that while a few years ago they were not subsidizing much of the agricultural sector, now they are keeping subsidized more and more. And then there is a lot of data in existing government websites, so you can find some NTM data like for the EU Export Help Desk, I think it's called the website, or USDA, USIDC, they have something. They have a lot of data. The problem with existing data is that it's fragmentary. So it's in a lot of different locations. The only comprehensive, and that's a big word actually, database is actually the UNCTAD database, but which is becoming rapidly obsolete, and now, as I said, is almost 10 years old. Also, it focuses on all the classifications, so it doesn't take into account all those, doesn't differentiate much on all those new type of NTMs such as SPS and TBT. As I said, the subsidies, you have mainly two data sources. One is the OECD database, which of course covers only OECD countries, and then the World Bank, which covers developing countries. So if you want to use both, you need to reconcile them, which is not always possible. And then there are a lot of database on ATM, but I mean, there are a lot, but they are follow different classifications, they are in different places. Even within a country, you have different agencies that that collect and publish NTMs, such as US, you may have like US ITC, then you may have other data in US DA, the Department of Agriculture, then Environmental Protection, that's another. So if you really want to understand what are the NTM affecting one product, you are pretty much lost. So the only way to do it is going to a comprehensive database or spend most of your time digging through different data sources and trying to come out with an idea which is not going to be comprehensive at best. So and this is part also why you don't see much research on NTM, because as somebody said this morning, I think Adidia, economists like to, usually do what they can do and not what they should do. So if you have like tariff data, it's quite easy to come out with some pretty comprehensive database, and so your research will get good results and you have some policy message and you are very happy. On NTM, you should first say, okay, should I really want to say something on NTM when the data on NTM is maybe not very good, and then I don't know if it's good enough and what what I want to say. So there is really not much academic or even policy research on NTM. So just to talk to you about a little bit about a new effort that the UNCTAD is making with other organizations, including the IDC, World Bank, and WTO, is we want to update our database, which by now is obsolete, try to come out with a more comprehensive database, which hopefully will be updated in a much more consistent way. And to do that, we need to want to pretty much get all these different data sources and trying to put it into one single database. I think you are going to hear about this a little bit more tomorrow, so I'm not going to say much more than that. So, but what kind of data is important? So from a researcher perspective, a policymaker perspective, what kind of data should be in the database and what kind of data should not be in the database? Because with NTM, we have a real problem with costs. So you can get on and collect all the type of NTM, but collecting data as any kind of data is very time-consuming and costly. So you need to put some boundaries where your database wants to stop and trying to cover the most important information with your data without spending all your life trying to come out with the perfect database. So, some question for researcher. I'm going to talk a little bit some question first for research and then for policy. So, some question that we are trying to answer, and we answer a little bit with the existing data, but we would like to have much better data to be able to answer those questions in a much more comprehensive and exhaustive way, is that, for example, to which extent NTM are replacing tariff as a measure of protection, of restrictiveness. And what we see is that actually this is exactly what happened. As we heard this morning, is that tariff are going down. So mostly we see a reduction in tariff in developed countries. Everybody is reducing tariff, maybe not really in the last few months because of the crisis, but in the last 10 years we just see a big decline in tariffs, also thanks to the negotiation, multilateral negotiation, bilateral regional trade agreement. So to what extent countries are now relying on NTM to try to protect their industries instead of tariff? Because at the end, it's like lobby firm are still there, so may just say, okay, tariff, we cannot raise the tariff anymore, but we can try to sneak out some other form of protection in this kind of standards, on this kind of other non-tariff measure. So this is probably the most interesting question, but also we want to like to know to what extent NTM can be trade facilitating, for example. As I said, like some kind of NTM actually helps exporter in streamline their export. To what extent this is true, we don't know because the data is not there. Oops. Also, we just want to have some descriptive statistics, which are very important. So, which country use NTMs? Are those developing and developed countries? How much cost to actually implement the NTMs? And what we see now is that actually developing countries use NTMs much less than developed countries because there is a cost involved in imposing NTMs. Think about standards on TBT. You need like a certification agency or somebody that actually check that the product has those prerequisites. And so it costs money. So developing countries, especially the least developed countries, don't have money and don't have technical capacity to do that. So what we see now is that a large part of NTMs are actually imposed in developed countries. I should maybe hurry a little bit more. Also, another question which is very important, at least from my point of view, is that to which extent NTM creates trade diversion. In theory, NTMs should apply to all trading partners. So when a product comes in, it should oblige to those and this and that standard, regardless if it comes from one country to the other. And this is mostly the case. It's not like preferences, trade tariff preference, where you have different tariffs applied to different countries. But in the case of NTM, you have to think that there is a cost involved in fulfilling those NTMs, and this cost may be different across countries. So in that case, it can create trade diversion. Think about a product coming from a LDC in Africa and a product coming from Latin America. The country in Africa may not have all the certification agency required to export the product in the EU, so it needs to pay some other agency abroad to fulfill all those requirements, and this may be much more costly relative to a country which has all this infrastructure in place. So NTMs may be much more costly for some countries and much less costly for some other countries. Now, those are some research or policy also question. Also, on policy, you may want to think still on monitoring the use of NTMs. So, if country changes the type of NTMs, when, if they become more restrictive, less restrictive, what kind of frequency of NTMs they have in particular products? What is the evolution of NTMs if they change across time, or so on? And then, a policy question, I think it's very important, is that to which extent NTM are used as protectionist in barriers, and this is a lot of, there is a lot of problems because you need to, it goes into the legal domain here, because I don't think as a researcher you should go into trying to, well, maybe you can, but you shouldn't really try to assess the protectionist intent of a particular barrier. Think about SPS residue limit. This is more or less of what is technically correct or not. So it's something that is, I think it's best to be left to technical people that know more about technicalities than economists. And also, I mean, when you have the idea, I think the most important policy question is that when you have the idea, what are the NTMs out there? What are the costs of compliance of those NTMs? Which products are affected by those NTMs? And what are the problems that developing country may have in exporting those in the developed market, you may want to shape your aid for trade policy and technical assistance, trying to help those countries to fulfill those NTM. Okay. A little bit more of detail of the of what I just said is that, for example, we want to see how NTMs are, what is the impact of NTM on trade policy, on trade flows. So we look at the impact of trade flows. So if those are, if you see that actually NTMs reduce trade flow between two particular countries or just preclude imports altogether and so on, and also impact on prices. At the end, an NTM is a cost for the exporter, so or for the consumers, if you want, in the importing country. So it's affect prices. So you have all these models about price gap that try to measure the effect of NTMs, comparing the price abroad with the domestic price, and try to come out with a measure of an ad valorem equivalent NTM. Also, you can try to come out with similar assessments of the ad valorem equivalent NTM, and this is what we have done when I was at the bank with some sort of comparative advantage models or gravity models. And of course, the best way of doing that would be like, probably the best way of doing that would be like with time series model, but the main problem, as I said, with NTM is that there is no time series data. What you get at best is like a cross section. NTM data requirements to answer those kind of questions that, first of all, that the variables at the right, so the determinants, must be comparable with what you are trying to explain, those prices or trade flows. And this is quite important because if the data is not exhaustive, I mean, it's not comprehensive of all kind of NTMs, you may just have a lot of measurement error, you may not be able to say much about your impact of NTM on trade. And this is why most researchers at the moment trying to come up, trying to aggregate all data on NTMs in one single or two single categories, because it's quite because if you look at the if you really want to see what is the impact of a single type of NTM with existing data, it's going to be you are going to find a lot of errors there. So it's better to say, okay, let's aggregate all the data, so SPS and all kind of SPS together, all kind of TBT together, and try to come out with the overall impact of SPS and TBT together, instead of trying to differentiate, because the data at the moment is not as good, so it doesn't allow you to do what you really would like to. So what I'm going to skip this, since I already... Yeah. since I already talked about this. So on the policy question, just to the way I see the thing is that policy use a lot of information coming from research. So research may identify if NTM are important, identify if LDC do not export as much as they could because of NTM, for example, identify which problems are where the problems are larger, in which kind of products, and then there is a task for policy that needs to identify what kind of NTMs are applied to those products. So if it's a problem, let's say, of licensing, or it's a problem of technical standards, or it's a problem of packaging or whatever. So this is something that needs to be done not even at the policy level, but at the very detailed level, and try to identify the kind of NTMs which is binding. And then when you identify this kind of NTM, what is the real problem, then you may come out with some policy trying to assess this problem. So, just to summarize a little bit, what kind of data do we need to try to answer those questions? That first of all, the data should be representative of trade, so all the exports or imports overall within, or at least within a sector. So you need to have a source of data which is actually representative of your export and import flows, or import flows, let's say. Then it should be comparable across countries, and it is a big problem because, as I said, you have different database, everyone uses... I mean, not really, different websites, government websites, and they use different classification. They don't cover everything. And so you need to do a lot of work trying to come out with a database which would be compatible across countries. And then it would be very good also to have a starting ending date of NTM, and this is, in some cases, this is available, this is not. So you try to understand what actually is the impact. As soon as the NTM is put in force, you see, oh, there's been a big jump in trade, this country has benefited, this other one has actually all the export collapsed. So there is a lot of work to be done in the collection of NTM data. Also, what I want to say is that for a research perspective, it's not as important to have the very detailed level of disaggregation of the NTMs, because there are a lot of problems when you try to identify the impact of the measure which are very similar. So this is something, it's not as important to know if an NTM has like a labeling requirement or a standard or something else. But this is very important for product level analysis. Skip this. To give you an example of this. So if we have costs involved in collecting data. So the way I think about this is like with an example with SPS residue limit. So the first level of information you get from the database is like, okay, there is a limit. Yes, not. This is very easy to collect. You look at the document, you say, okay, there is a limit on this specific substance on tomatoes. And this is quite easy to collect and to put into your database. Then the next level, which is a little bit more difficult to collect and put in other bases, to see if this is actually in compliance with some international standards, if this exists or not. And you might say, okay, yes, it is in compliance with standards or not. It's not in compliance with standards, but then you need also to collect information if the national standard is more or less lax the international standards, and that requires more work and more digging into documents. And also you may think about that there are different substances. So some substance is more dangerous than others, and so you may have to have like a zillion of information for one single product, which may not be feasible. And also, even more difficult is that if you really want to collect the exact residue limit, so for example, 1 gram per kilo or whatever, but then this may change quite often, and that is impossible to report in a database. So I don't think this data should be reported in a database, but just trying to leave it to more interested people. Another example is quotas, and in this case I think it's worth to try to go the extra steps. It's like the existence of quota regime is very easy to assess. But then it's more difficult to try to see how large is the quota, is the quota is seasonal, or allocation of the quota across countries, but this is information which may be worth spending time in trying to collect. So this is my last slide. So to summarize, the way I see it, the dataset requirement of an NTM database is that it should be as clean as possible with little not measurement error. It should be a standard format so you can merge it with other data, so it should follow, for example, the HS6 classification or whatever the trade data come in. And then it should be based on official sources, because at the end is what we are more interested. So it's, when you have official sources, you don't have all the problems that is related to survey data. You don't try to have like sample bias and stuff like that. In my view, it's much better to have a complete and more compact database that actually covers everything, but with errors. And I'll stop here. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, Alessandro. You've identified, I think, one very important set of data gaps that we have in our analysis for policy purposes. Let's take some questions from the audience. I have a couple of questions myself, but let's hear from you. Yes, could you please identify yourself? And I think we'll take two or three questions given the limitation on time, if that's okay. Please.
Thank you, Chair, and I would like to thank the presenter for the excellent presentation he just made. My name is Poonam Mohan. I am from the Mauritius Mission in Geneva. I have got just a few comments to make and not really questions to the presenter himself. We all know that for market access to be meaningful, we need a reduction in all barriers to trade. Whether we get, for example, duty-free, quota-free access, whether it is an EBA initiative, what we need is reduction in barriers to trade. Now, there are so many different types of trade barriers as illustrated in the presentation, but we have got some simplest traditional ones such as customs bottlenecks, administrative procedures, red tape, language translation problems, to more complex barriers to trade, like accreditation, certification problems, SPS, TBT, which are these days becoming more and more non-transparent, I would say. A whole diversity of standards, even a proliferation of different standards, which is of growing complexity in nature, even in the same sectors in different markets. Now, what is the result of all this? Operators are confused, the private sector, SMEs, and what happens is that they are discouraged from exporting into new markets, from diversifying, in fact, their export base. This, I am talking of experience coming from a developing country, an SVE, from the African ACP region. So some of the major problems that countries of mine, like mine, face, therefore include SPS standards, lack of laboratories, lack of resources, of course, capacity constraints, like was mentioned before, certification problems, which are very, very costly. Another problem that we face is, for example, the lack of capacity for our national inquiry points to work. We have got national inquiry points which have been set up thanks to the WTO that year. But what we need is collaboration, more cooperation to make these become more effective. I know for database, it is very, very difficult to quantify, to collect information on NTMs because many of them are so intangible. Therefore, how do you get this information? How do you, from who? From the, normally we should be able to get them from exporters, from the operators themselves. But one major problem that we face in Mauritius, for example, is that SMEs, they do not have the time, they do not have the resources, for example, to complete questionnaires to tell you what exactly the type of problems they are inquiring. Hence, you see a lack of data in countries, for example, African countries, ACPs, SVEs, and so on. The result is that you do not have only a problem in north-south trade, but also in south-south trade, for example, in intra-regional trade. For example, again, if you come on the African continent, you've got huge problem of trade growing intra-regional. The people who need the data, in fact, are the private sector, the exporters, potential exporters. But again, they face a problem relating to adequate access to information. Who can help, therefore? This is how I think where international organizations such as ITC, for example, have an important role to play. We should find ways to transmit the data to exporters in a useful, practical manner, which would be user-friendly. Technical assistance, of course, it has been mentioned several times and again by the presenter just now, to help developing countries and LDCs to build up their infrastructure to begin with. Standard setting bodies, regional bodies, accreditation again, laboratories, all these have to be set in our regions. They need also a greater participation of our countries in the architecture of measures. Because at the moment what there is the fact is there is an inequity because mostly standards are set up by North countries, and there is a vast difference in institutional capacities which exist between African countries, for example, and developing countries. In fact, studies show that Africa, for instance, is a standard taker for tri-step standards coming from developed countries. I will stop here, Chair. These were just a few comments that came in the interest of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Other questions, comments? Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Professor Nishita. My name is Benjamin Xu from Mission of Taiwan, Chinese Taipei. It is very inspiring to hear the presentation by Professor Nishita. I have two questions. One is more on macro level, and then the other is on more micro level. On the macro level, I would like to ask Professor Nishita, so the database you were talking about, are you trying to produce some kind of index of NTB, for example, from 0 to 100, and then to each individual WTO member, you can produce some kind of index to say, to indicate that how much non-tariff measures or non-tariff barriers they have, so that people can have a more general conception of this database. That's one thing. The other question is more on the micro level. Is actually in our day-to-day practice, usually what we focus on the NTM is more on the individual measures. For example, some members are imposing anti-dumping measures, or some members are imposing SDS measures to our exporters, and so our exporters complain to us, and so we have to touch base to them and to negotiate or discuss this. So how is our day-to-day practice can benefit from the database you were talking about? Thank you very much.
Super. If I could just sort of piggyback on that question, Alessandro, maybe you could say, probably in response to that, a little bit about the MAST program, the new database that you're creating. And secondly, is there a way that governments can use the OTRI in comparison with the standard tariffs that their exporters face to begin to identify which countries and which markets require maybe a government search to go out and identify those barriers in foreign markets which might be associated with either SBS or perhaps more protectionist non-tariff barriers? Let's take one more question, and then we'll let Alessandro respond. Yes, please.
Gracias, señor presidente, y gracias al ponente. Soy Osvaldo Reque, de la Misión de Venezuela. Pareciera que lo que queda claro en materia de base de datos es que no hay nada claro, ¿no? Nuevamente, en este tema, como en muchos relacionados con el comercio, se aplica una doble moral, no solo en la OMC, sino en el mundo comercial en general. Los países desarrollados nos atacan mucho a los países en desarrollo con cualquier medida de arancel que se toma para proteger los mercados, casi la única medida que tenemos, pero aplican medidas no arancelarias que pueden llegar a ser muchísimo más proteccionistas que las arancelarias. Quisiera saber qué opina de esto el ponente. Muchas gracias.
Alessandro, you've got a rich menu of questions that and you've got 8.5 minutes to answer.
Okay, thank you very much for those interesting questions. And just to follow up on the issues raised by the lady from Mauritius, you mentioned that the NTM may actually be a problem for countries to be able to export to other markets, to diversifying their markets. I think that is very important because, as many of you know, there is all this economic literature that tell you that diversification is key to economic growth. So countries which are able to diversify are the ones that grow better, economically wise. So, but there is, because of the lack of data, of course, that's part of the story, there has not been actually much research or dialogue to the extent to which NTM to the extent to which NTMs are barriers that preclude countries to diversify. And my sense is that they are barriers. I mean, NTMs, because they are technical standards, they require capacity. They require some capabilities of countries. So those are definitely an issue that countries need to address when they want to diversify. About the surveys that you were telling that NTM data should also come from survey from exporters, and I agree completely with that, because exporters many times they know exactly what they are facing in their when they want to export a product, and they just say, "Oh, but this is too much of a barrier, so I'm not able to export it." So in the data that we are collecting, part of the data comes from survey. The problem with survey data is the usual problem is that when you collect survey data, you want to have a representative sample, and that is very important because at the end, what you want is to try to explain trade with NTM. So if your NTM data is not representative or your trade flows, then you have a problem. You may just cover a particular category of industry, let's say only the big ones or only the small ones, or only the industry that actually are facing NTMs, and so you may come up with different or wrong policy recommendations. So when you collect survey data, it's very important to have a representative sample. However, to have a representative sample, survey need to be done in a certain way, and that is very, very costly. And that's why we are trying to come out with we need a lot of money, let's say, to try to get this database done in a serious way. On the question from the representative of Taiwan, yes, I mean, in the work I've done when I was at the World Bank, I'm still doing here, is that we come out with this index, which is the OTRI, which stands for Overall Trade Restriction Index, and I suspect you will hear about it this afternoon in the last session. So just to tell you a little bit, is that this index, we try to assess the ad valorem equivalent of non-tariff barriers in general. So we are not be able to differentiate between SPS, NTM, quotas, or whatever you want to think of. We just say, okay, we have tariff, which account of 10% of your restrictiveness, but then you have a non-tariff measure, which account another 20% or 10%, whatever. So in that sense, we have this index, which you can use to rank countries one to the other and trying to come out with a measure of how NTMs are important across countries. On the NTM, on the macro level question, you were mentioned your day-to-day work on anti-dumping and standards and other things. And yes, the database we are trying to put together, and I'll talk about this later on, and I hope you will hear about this tomorrow in the second day. We will be able to, I mean, hopefully, we'll come out with a database which covers a much wider range of NTMs. So at the end, policymakers or even people, exporters which are interested in a particular product, they should be able to see what are the barriers that they are going to face when they are trying to export that particular product. So from a negotiator perspective, you may say, okay, here is our product. So what are all the barriers that are affecting those programs in this determinate count. Triadic, this is a very useful information, both for researchers, policymakers, exporters, everybody. To answer your questions, so this MAST meeting, this MAST, what is MAST? So we came out with this, with a group of agencies, which is UNCTAD, ITC, WTO, World Bank, UNIDO, pretty much all, I'm sure I'm missing many, FAO. So we came out with a series of meetings where we discuss about what kind of NTMs are important, what kind of NTMs are more relevant now, what kind of NTMs may be relevant in the future, and try to come out with a common classification which will be used in the new database. And that's been a very productive and a useful exercise because, I mean, you have all these different agencies, and each agency has particular expertise in some particular area. So we don't know really much about agriculture. FAO knows much more about than us. Similar thing with UNIDO, they know about industrial things and so on. And I think that's it. Was missing something? Yes, the protectionist intent of the representative from Venezuela. Well, my sense is that it's difficult to assess, as I said, but for sure I agree that a lot of non-tariff measures are used in a protectionist way. I mean, and it's like very difficult trying to see which one, because then you have all this legal issue and then technical issues as well. So the classic example is that there is a standard. How do you define on a particular pesticide residue and say, okay, this is very high, but it's applied to all products. It's applied to all importers. It's applied also to the to domestic producers. So is that a protectionist measure or not? Maybe it is because it's different from international standards, but maybe it's not because it's equally applied to everybody. So it's something that I think you need to go at a very detailed level to try to answer that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alessandro. This is a very easy session to summarize. I'm sorry, we do have to cut it off, but we'll take your question afterwards here. I'm sure Alessandro will be delighted to answer it. This is an easy session to summarize. Maybe three or four points. One, non-tariff barriers and non-tariff measures are likely much more important than tariffs in impeding access of exporters to foreign markets. Secondly, the data are miserable, and they're quite dispersed, and they're difficult to classify. The good news is there are some efforts going on in the interagency effort that UNCTAD is spearheading with the MAST program is one. I think the OTRI, the Overall Trade Restrictiveness Index discussion that you'll have this afternoon, will also provide insight because that's the agenda for policymakers. So that's the third point, is that this is a very important issue for policymakers generally, and that it's an important issue for the international community to put money into. Obviously, this is a terribly important gap that we have at the international level. So Alessandro will be standing with a hat as you leave the door, and we accept all contributions. Second point I'd like to make is to advertise coming attractions. Tomorrow we'll have a more detailed discussion of these various databases in sort of a fair format. So we welcome all of you participating in that as well. Then on Wednesday, the WTO and the World Bank are hosting a seminar on export diversification. So that will take place in Rumi, and we welcome you to that as well. So kindly join me in thanking Alessandro for what has been a wonderful presentation on NTMs today.